Welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and it's always funny to say that out loud when I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to Disneyland tomorrow, and I've already planned when I'm going to get popcorn and how much I'm going to bring of it home. I don't lie, I am popcorn-fueled. Yeah, maybe I'm just dehydrated and I need the salt, maybe I just love the snack. Who knows? It's just the best. It's just the best. Now, if you are listening to this and you're like looking at your watch, looking at your calendar, going, ma'am, Muppet Vision closes very soon and we don't have a Muppet Vision dedicated episode. I know, I understand. Our podcast falls on Wednesdays, which is kind of outside of the line of when Muppet Vision is closing, yada, yada, yada. We are trying, it should be happening, but I'm just saying this is a caveat in case a completely different episode arrives next week. We are trying to do something a little special next week to honor Muppet Vision. Stay tuned for that. That's the only reason we're not talking about it this week. Our great national nightmare, but also I am very curious to see what a Muppets roller coaster is, and I do not believe we would have ever gotten that if we didn't make so much noise at the closure of this. So I am choosing to be optimistic and choosing to be positive and looking forward to what's next, and we will cover that hopefully in a few days on next week's episode. But this week, yeah, we got a wild one too. This one really has like Muppet energy because it's just like, didn't expect this. You know, like, I couldn't have imagined Gonzo. Like, none of these things I would have thought in my head. But yeah, we're here with like a Team Coco crossover episode. It is divine. I will not keep it from you any longer. But it's really just like, you know, sometimes you have an idea and you joke about it and then things actually happen and now it's on the feed. This one was so much fun. I'm going to tell you about it after the ad break, but regardless, yeah, what else is going on in my life? I am planning. It's already planned. It's happening. I'm leaving for a very big trip on Sunday. Stay tuned. I haven't said anything about where I'm going, but we will have a full recap episode when I'm back because I'm pretty sure you're going to want to know some deets about it. It is the bucket list trip that I referenced so long ago. I haven't told a soul about it, and I cannot wait to share it with you. I hope you are having a great week. It's like finally almost summer, like school's getting out. It's all happening. It's just nice. It's a nice vibe to be like, yeah, we're in the middle of the year and it's summer and I am here for it. Stick around. We'll be right back after these words from our lovely sponsors to talk to some of the funniest people in LA. Okay, see you on the other side. Bye. I'm at Disneyland Resort, and guess who I'm here with?
It's Becky Mankin. Hi, it's nice to see you again with MEI Travel, and I love when we get to get together, because it hardly ever happens.
Just so you can understand how patient Becky is and how much I adore her, is that I fully like worked through multiple mics today, couldn't get the one that I brought to work, and yet we are just huddled at Disney's Grand Californian yelling into my dirty film-covered phone. It's covered in makeup, and Becky's just being an ultimate professional about it, and that's why I love her.
It's like I didn't even notice that until you mentioned it, too.
I'm so sorry, but we're not here to talk about how messy I am as a person. We're here to talk about the incredible deals you can get on a vacation this summer. So Becky, hit me with all the Disney World details.
Let's talk about Disney World because that's where a lot of you want to go for the summer, and man, they're making it easy for you. They still have this offer going for Disney Plus subscribers to enjoy great rates at the Disney Resort Collection hotels. It's valid for travel from June 29th to July 31st. So you can see that little fiction of time that they're trying to get people in there, which is great. They also have 30% off on their hotels as well from August 1st to October 11th, but the one you really should be interested in.
Oh, pause for monorail. Pause for monorail, guys.
Actually exciting.
We're really here.
Mickey on it. That's awesome. Well, see, that was actually that perfect pause because the exciting one is that they're offering the free dining plan for kids ages 3 to 9 for bookings in 2026. Notice
Wait,
I'm
not I didn't know this.
Yes.
Wait, I didn't know this. This is why I need this segment on this podcast, because I didn't know this.
I know, because you got so much else that you're trying to do around here. So it's get a free dining plan for kids 3 to 9 when you purchase any of the packages for a room at the Disney Resort Collection. So the dining plan is a great addition, and it's free in 2026. So you can't miss out on that if you're trying to think about your vacation next year.
Does that even apply to like holiday season 2026?
I'm sure there's going to be some some terms and conditions in there. for this point, I would actually ask, because you never know. They're trying to fill some spaces that they're, you know, may see a little bit of lightness. And this is the way you go about it. You save and have a great time at Disney and get free dining.
Wow. We will be back with Becky later in the show. Thank you so much, Becky. Welcome back. To explain how this episode even came about truly sounds like a Los Angeles fever dream. So let's take it back to the beginning, probably around somewhere in the 2012 zone. I'm living in New York, a couple of my best friends from college are in LA. In retrospect, a really strange trajectory for three girls who went to school at University of Illinois. But what can I say? We're city folk. And my best friend starts working as a talent coordinator at Conan, the long-running beloved show on TBS. I, at the time, was slowly becoming obsessed with the city of Los Angeles, which is pretty quaint and cute to say in retrospect, considering I've now been here for longer than I was in New York. But when I visited, I would always stay with one of my besties. Only, at that time, other people aren't really working remote yet, and I didn't have anything to do during the day besides work, or if I was on vacation, I was free. I didn't drive yet. Uber was not what it is now, so I'd often just walk around. Things were different. It was a different time. Walking up to a studio lot and, like, waiting at the booth for the car arm to come up was something I did regularly, and it was very strange. It was frowned upon, and you cannot do it anymore, but alas, you ever walk through a drive-thru? You know what I mean? I'm sounding like I'm doubling down, but I've walked through a drive-thru. I've done it. I didn't drive for most of my life, okay? So all of that goes to say that whenever I would visit Los Angeles, I would just kind of hang out at the Conan office. Once or twice a year, I would show up and silently work in the corner, pillage the pantry that was full of cheese corn. It was delicious. And just maybe catch a show here or there, waiting until my friend got off of work. Years go by, the show ends, the podcasts begin, but she remains friends with most of her old coworkers, including one of the coolest gals on the face of the planet, Ruthie. Separate from the show, Ruthie and I hang out at parties and getaways and vacations, and we just keep in touch because, honestly, I'm just lucky to be a person basking in the glow of her ray of light. So imagine my surprise when I get a text from Ruthie out of the blue that her coworker Maddie, who has my best friend's old job, happens to follow me and listen to Very Amusing and is also a huge Disney fan. Now, I'm not only flattered, like, I still can't wrap my head around this, but I was blown away. How cool and strange is it that the person who holds a talent job at Conan O'Brien's media entity is destined to be a friend of mine? I mean, it's in the cards. If you book talent at Conan, we've got to be best friends. This place just emerged as like a factory of cool people with similar interests, of which you're about to hear. Because the next time I see Ruthie, I learn that it's not just Maddie who's obsessed with Disney. It is a number of people in the Team Coco office. These bright, brilliant, talented, funny people who make some of the best podcasts in the world happen to love theme parks as much as we do? So naturally, we had to make something happen out of it. And as you'll soon hear, they're not even the only ones at Team Coco who are obsessed with theme parks. And that's not even including Matt Gourley, who has an entire podcast of his own, an 8-part docuseries called Keys to the Kingdom about what it's really like to work at a theme park. So that's how cool the team at Team Coco is. Maddie Ogden, who you're about to hear from, not only shares a last name with a character in the Avatar Flight of Passage pre-show, oh yeah, I can't forget a Disney fact, but is also an accomplished comedian in her own right, in addition to having an incredible running bit about snack baskets. And David Hopping, who is hilarious and a big Disney influence in the office, I've learned. On top of that, also hosts the fantastic Back to the Best podcast, all about the 90s and 2000s nostalgia. This episode begins with a quick hello from Ruthie, who made all of this happen, and really starts out in the wackiest way, which it should. I mean, look at how we got here. This is not a normal linear progression of a podcast episode. But soon after that, this one settles into one of the most delightful conversations we've ever had among supremely talented, like-minded people. This is just A little behind-the-scenes crossover episode that truly couldn't live anywhere else. Long live podcasting! Hi, I'm back. One more quick thing before this episode. I forgot how truly unhinged the beginning of this interview is. I am still flabbergasted by what happened, and my brain, like, cannot process the information. Truly, this is... I love these people. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Okay, bye.
I'm so excited because... Well, hold on. Let me give a reveal.
There we go.
Okay, we just... Ooh. We're downstairs, and I was like, oh, yeah, I booked... There's a group of people working downstairs, and I said, oh, yeah, I booked David and Maddie on a Disney podcast with my friend Carly. And then another employee, whose name is Aya, goes...
And this is Aya.
This is Aya.
Aya is a longtime Team Coco. Started as an intern with us. She's phenomenal. She oversees our YouTube and Facebook and does an amazing job and is a big fan of Carly.
Oh my God. I don't understand. How does everyone know me? This is so strange.
Everyone knows you.
You feel very cool in the office and giving me major points here with everybody.
We listened to your podcast before we went to Walt Disney World recently, and we're starting to plan Tokyo. So we're like, what Carly says.
Oh my God.
You have it all.
Carly is the person to go to.
Oh my God. I'm so flattered. Also, I feel like, do you guys know that I used to just spend all day sitting around the office? Like, do you have any idea? I feel like I'm an honorary intern, though I did no work. I just ate all of the snacks.
That's a better version of it anyway.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm absolutely so flattered. I can't believe, Ruthie, this is crazy.
I'm so thrilled, girl. And then she's even like, this is okay if I share what you just said.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I think I saw like your photos with her from Aaron's bachelorette.
Like, that's so crazy. Like, what a coincidence.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I did. And then I freaked out.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is all like, it's all meant to be. Because I don't know. All roads lead back to Conan O'Brien and a strange guy.
Yes.
A lot of Carly Wiesel fans and Conan O'Brien employees.
The crossover.
I'm so flattered. I feel crazy. I feel like I'm like in a post-coma dream or something. This is so nice.
Carly, that's how I feel. I listen to your podcast all the time, and talking to you in person, it's like it feels like I've been talking to you, but now I'm actually talking to you. You know? Do you know how trippy that is?
I love Team Coco.
Oh, we love you. Clearly.
We love Disney too.
Yes,
but
we love it all.
The real Disneys. But you know, I just wanted to introduce Aya to you.
It's always, I'm always saying like, "Well, Carly says" to my partner, and now I can actually say, "Well, Carly said" to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Got engaged at Walt Disney World on the People Mover.
Aya, sit down.
Get Aya a mic.
Honestly.
It was during the fireworks at night, like we were on the...
Oh my God. Get in here.
What? Wait, is your fiance very into Disney or just like did a solid for you?
Into you.
I'm so embarrassed. We went to Disney World for their 35th birthday, and we went specifically because it would be in time to say goodbye to Muppet Vision. We've never been. We're both from like LA, Orange County area. So we've both been to Disneyland a bazillion times, never been to Disney World. So we decided it would be romantic to go for the first time together.
I love that.
So we went for their birthday and we said goodbye to Muppet Vision. We went two or three times and then we got engaged at Magic Kingdom.
Oh my God.
I love it.
So romantic, I won't lie, you guys.
That's such a good one.
And
I'm getting emotional.
We didn't ask you this.
I know.
But we were saving it for Carly.
Yes, you're saving it for the mic. You guys are podcast professionals. You know.
Always save it for the mic.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wait, the timing, People Mover and fireworks, because there's not fireworks the whole fireworks show. That's tricky.
Ah.
It was really beautiful. It was unbelievable.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you, Carly.
Oh my God. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
Is everyone in this office obsessed with Disney parks? What is going on?
There's a big chunk of us, yeah.
Yeah.
Telling you.
Mm-hmm. Are there just like three emo people in the corner, just not at all engaged in this at all?
Over it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's also another person downstairs in a Disney sweatshirt right now.
Yes. Alyssa. Shout out, Alyssa.
Harley. Yeah. Shout out, Alyssa, who was an OG Team Coco intern, yes, like from the very beginning days. But Alyssa has not actually come into this office in person only but one other time. And I have not seen her in many years. And she comes in today wearing a Disney sweatshirt. And I was like, well, great. Maybe we'll book you on
honestly
Disney podcast.
We need like a
too.
5-part series.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say hi. And I wanted to introduce Aya.
Thank you.
And then I know you guys have a lot to talk about.
We have so much. Thank you, Aya. Thank you, Ruthie.
Bye. Have fun.
Bye. Team Coco, welcome to Very Amusing.
Thank you for having us.
I'd love to have each of you introduce yourself and say what you do, starting with David.
All right. Hi, I'm David. I assist Conan O'Brien and his producer, Jeff Ross, and have been here since 2016.
Slay. Okay, yes, my turn. My name is Maddie Ogden. I assist Paula Davis and Gina Batista and Britt Kahn, as well as kind of assisting everyone else in the office. My official title is Talent Coordinator, and I have been a part of Team Coco since 2022, I think.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Maddie started when we were only on Zoom. Like, she didn't know us in person for, like, at least, what, a year?
Yeah, everyone felt like video game characters, Conan O'Brien included. It wasn't until I met him in person that I was like, oh my gosh, you are real.
Was it strange to walk in one day and just see everyone in person?
It was completely bizarre. And my first intro to everyone was a live show. So, I mean, just like everything in my life, it really was trial by fire. Yeah, I met so many people. Everyone thought that I was somebody else's girlfriend, when in fact I was an employee. It was a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My God, that's like if you were basically just in The Sims and then everyone became real.
Yes, that's exactly literally what it felt like. I felt crazy the entire night. Oh my God.
That's so bizarre. And like, I thought the weirdest thing was that you have my best friend's old job and that like, oh, we are now friends. We are automatically friends. And it just feels like it's fated that anybody who has that job, I'm just going to be obsessed with.
Yeah, you're going to bond.
Oh my God, it's canon. It's canon.
David, I don't know who came before you, but I'm sure.
Well, I took over for Sona, so you probably know Sona.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, yeah. So perfect. Oh my God. I really can't get over how many people in this office are obsessed with Disney and Disney parks. And I feel like we're not going to talk about the big man much in this episode, but I got to know, is Conan into Disney at all?
He's very aware at how much we are into Disney.
Yes. There's many times where David and I will be talking in the office and he'll come down and be like, what are we talking about, Disney?
And like, because he knows that, you know, we all have magic keys and mm-hmm, I've had an annual pass for years. And so like, if he ever needs to call in a weekend, he'll be like, all right, what ride are you in line for now?
Oh, so this is a known thing that
it's
y'all are at the
theme
parks.
It's a very known thing, yes.
Yes. And actually, David Hopping, can I share a bit of a secret? So before I even knew that I had any chance of working for this podcast, I listened to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, and you would be on the podcast sometimes, especially while Sona was on maternity leave, et cetera. Uh-huh. And you would talk about Disneyland and how much you love Disneyland. And I, a little dreamer, would sit there and be like, oh, maybe one day I'll work for the podcast. And
oh my
maybe
God.
David and I will be friends.
Maddie?
Maybe we can go to Disneyland.
And
now
we
are. I know.
That's so nice.
Wait, I haven't told you because I've been embarrassed.
No.
David's the reason you have a magic key.
Yeah, it's true. It's
true. In all ways.
This is so much to take in.
Oh my God. And now you're here? And now you guys go to the parks together? And David convinced you to get one?
Yes, he did. He did. It wasn't very hard, I will say, but he did convince me.
Yeah, she was like, should I? And I was like, you should. And then she did it. It was very quick.
So there was, okay.
She was like, she just needed one little, like, not even a push, just like a little tap to get it.
Okay. Yep, didn't require a lot.
Yeah.
Tapped me right in.
Oh my God. And I know each of us spoke a bit before this interview, and you each have really unique Disney experiences. David, your first time at Disneyland was during the 24-hour day for the 60th anniversary?
Yes. First time. I had been to California Adventure like the year before, but I didn't go into Disneyland Park. And so I was a Warner Brothers tour guide at the time. And
oh my God. Oh my God. An elite job. Wow.
Yes, yes. Really? And so all of my friends from the tour department, they all had passes. And so they were all going and they convinced me to get one. And so we all like did tours that day, clocked out, drove down to Disneyland. And so we got there probably like 6 or 7 p.m. So there was still like a lot of time left. And it was so crowded that the entrance to Disneyland was just closed. They weren't letting anybody in. So we went into California Adventure. And then about 3 a.m., they opened up the entrance to Disneyland and everybody just sprinted. It was a mad dash to get over to Disneyland. And so we're like, we get in. They're like, we got to go to Space Mountain. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And we're running down Main Street. And I was like, wait, you guys, I've never seen the castle. And they're like, look at it later. We got it.
That you have to be the only person whose first visit to Disneyland was at 3 in the morning.
It was wild. Yeah.
What was everything open or just select stuff?
No, everything was open. And it was like the last time. I don't think they've done a 24-hour day since then. So thank God I went when I did.
How late did you stay? Do you remember?
We stayed till they shut down at 6 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then I drove everybody home. Everybody in my car was asleep as I'm driving them home.
Oh.
Yeah.
I feel like the second visit had to have been so much less iconic.
So, just so calm.
Kind of a bummer. Oh my God. That is, okay, that is absolutely bizarre.
It was incredible.
Like nobody can even go at 3 a.m. anymore. And that was your first visit.
First time.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
Maddie, tell me more about working at Disneyland.
Yes. So it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. I was the best of employees and also the worst of employees. Mm-hmm. It was short lived, partly because, you know, I had a very jam packed college schedule, and partly because I was like, I need to get out of here before I am banned from Disney for life. I loved my experience. I mean, as David can attest, I am Disney crazy. Like, I like to think, you know, like I'm a sane, down to earth person. But when it comes to Disney as a whole, I drink the Kool-Aid. I'm a big fan of it. I love it all. But yes, I think because sometimes I would get so swept up in the Disney magic, I got in trouble with I forget what the department is even called, but I remember if you like kind of got a slap on the wrist, you would get an S on your essentially like a Disney report card. And I got two or three of those, which I took very seriously because I've always been a bit of a goody two shoes. I like an A. I plan to get an A always. And I got quite a few safeties. Yes, one of them was because this one was just silly. But so we had these like ride phones. And also to preface, Carly knows this, so the viewers don't. I worked at the Indiana Jones attraction, which I chose in a panic. They'd offered me Club 33 to be a waitress there. And for whatever reason, I said no. And then I was kicking myself because I was like, oh my gosh, I could have met celebrities all day. Cut to, that is now my job. So we're okay. But it was honestly so dramatic. Like I remember calling my mom.
Wait, that's crazy. Because like you don't like just work in Hollywood. Like you literally work day to day with talent.
Yes. They were like, I mean, what do you want to do? Like, do you want a waitressing role at Club 33? And like, I just like, because it was so on the spot, like I kind of panicked and I was like, oh my gosh, what have I always wanted to do since I was a little girl? And instead of being like, oh my gosh, Club 33, the exclusive club that everyone wants to get into where I could, you know, meet celebrities, I was like, I've always wanted to wear the Indiana Jones pants. I want to do that. And so that is actually how I made my decision. And you know, like I don't, there's a lot to unpack with my, role in the Disney parks, but just, I think long story short, the two worst things that I did was there was like an actual safety issue happening and I was unaware. And so I was talking via the ride phone to the ride operator across the tracks from me. And I thought it was hilarious to keep making fart noises to what I thought was just the ride operator across from me. Oh no, no, no. Turns out I was broadcasting that to the entire Adventureland. Like, I don't even know. It's not walkie-talkie system, but I was live broadcasting fart noises to everyone. And apparently, this is what I'm saying. I had to get out of there. And there was some kind of, I still don't know exactly what his role was, but apparently like a really high up, like Disney executive. And he heard my fart noises. So I got a write-up for that. I got an S for that, which makes sense. I think that's fair.
That feels S worthy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We saw that coming.
Yeah. Yeah. My other S stories aren't as exciting. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Something else you both have in common is that the only international park you've been to is Disneyland Paris.
Yes.
Yes.
The, I say this lovingly, the weirdest of Disney parks globally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do each of you remember from those visits, if anything?
Rained nonstop the entire 2 days I was there.
Cool.
And
yep, of course.
I'll never forget. I stupidly was like, oh, it's going to rain. I'm going to wear flip-flops instead of shoes so I don't have wet socks all day. Well, I walking around, I like somehow did something to my ankle. It was hurting. And I was like, I have a 4-week Europe trip ahead of me. Like, I got to do something. So I was just going to go back to the hotel. And then my friend Caroline didn't tell me what she was doing. And next thing I know, she's wheeling up a wheelchair. And she's like, you're not going back to the hotel. Sit down. And then
you're
at the park.
Your friends came together to get you through the day.
Everyone's like, yeah.
Shout out Caroline.
Shout out to Caroline.
My God. So you were still able to go on rides and stuff.
Able to do all the rides. We did everything. And then I was fighting the next day. So I don't know what happened.
Your body was like, we do not respect this park. We don't want to be here. Oh my God.
David.
Yeah.
Maddie, I know you were young when you went.
I was young. Truly, what I remember the most is that I had just gone through a really, it was my first breakup ever. It was a very ugly breakup. And I remember he was still constantly trying to text me. But what I do remember of the park was that it was the first time that whole trip I was finally able to ignore all of that and just exist in the present, which was the weirdest Disney park probably to ever exist. And it was lovely. I loved it.
I'm glad you had a great time and also didn't get injured. Didn't get
your
mobility wasn't affected.
Listen, comparatively speaking, I just had a lovely time.
Oh my God. I usually wear sandals in the rain, and I'm gonna rethink that.
I don't know. I think I just did. I must have done something.
Water plus flip-flop, you must have slipped.
Yeah. Something happened. But we're fine. It was a great 2 days in the rain. I also remember Indiana Jones, speaking of that ride, is so different there because it's the like roller coaster, and riding that in the rain was an experience.
Ooh.
Oh my God. They operate that when it's raining?
They operated it while it was raining, and it's just hitting you in the face as you're going on the roller coaster.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh my God. A different world.
A different world.
Truly.
Okay. I want to know, as serious Disneyland people, what do each of you think is the most overrated and underrated thing at Disneyland Resort?
My.
Okay. I've never gotten the Dole Whip thing.
Ooh, good take,
David. I've never done it. I've had one Dole Whip, I think, in the however many years I've had a pass.
It doesn't do it for you.
It doesn't do it for me. And the line's always so long. And I'm always just like, it's not worth it, you guys.
You don't see the line and you're like, they know something I don't. I should be there. You resist.
You would think that that's what I would think. But no, I've never gotten into the Dole Whip.
Wow. Okay.
And I apologize to all the Dole Whip lovers listening right now.
Dole Whip overrated.
You're going to get a lot of Disney
hate. You're going to get a lot of hate?
Yeah.
I mean, no one's listening after this, but it's fine.
Yeah, they all just tuned out.
Everyone threw their phone against the wall. They're so mad.
Maddie, is there anything that sticks out as overrated to you?
Yes, and I think I'm probably possibly going to get even more hate. And let me just preface this by saying I love Disney merch. I love it all. I love the most ridiculous. I have like a 3-foot long Kermit stuffed animal, like completely superfluous. Did I need to have it? Absolutely. So please know that I share that love. And when it comes to Disney merch, if it makes you happy, buy it. However, I personally have never quite understood, and I know I'm going to get a lot of hate, the Disney popcorn bucket craze. Do I think, I know, I'm so sorry. Do I think that some of them are so cute? Absolutely. But my question is, and this does come from a place of ignorance that I will absolutely acknowledge, aren't they a little bit heavy and cumbersome to lug around? Because David Hopping disagrees with me, and he called me out, rightfully so, when we were there. But I think it's just, for me, if I'm going to get a Disney souvenir, I would rather it be something that, you know, is either like so ridiculous, I need to put it in the locker and then take it home, i.e., you know, a Kermit stuffed animal, or something that's fairly portable. So that's my take. And you can hate me. I think that's so fair.
I am right there with you. I do not hate you for that. And I think
thank you.
This, it's not like you said you don't like Dole Whip, so it's fine. But I am with you. It's like you carry around an extra purse that serves one purpose that a Ziploc bag could also serve. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yes, yes. And your Ziploc bag spiel that you went on, I forget which episode I was listening to, but I was on a walk and I said out loud, yes, thank you. A Ziploc can do that job.
But this begs the question. Have you seen the popcorn holder that they are coming out with for the 70th? Because Disneyland is having a Tokyo-style popcorn container that is kind of, it's not hard shell, but it's like soft shell and it's plastic lined and it's shaped like a popcorn container. And then next to it, the one in Tokyo is two popcorn box shapes. So you can put two different boxes in. The one here, I think, is more, I haven't seen it in person yet. I think it's one popcorn box and then like extra space to put a water bottle or something. So that is more like a satchel for a drink and a snack.
Yeah, you can get more use. Yes,
that's practical. I could get behind that, especially the cute design. Sign me up.
Yeah. So, David, you are pro bucket of any kind.
I've only ever bought one, and it was like the Cinderella like cart one. I don't get the whole like resale of the popcorn buckets is insane to me. Like the people who like go and wait in line. Have you seen these, Maddie?
No.
And then they like get sold on eBay for like an insane price.
Oh my god!
And that part of it, I'm just like, who needs a popcorn bucket that bad that they're paying like hundreds of dollars for it?
It's one thing if you collect them all.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Otherwise, I find, and granted, this might be Los Angeles bias, that I don't really have room in my house for, I have like two of them and like, that's it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So maybe people have more storage space than we do in the city.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But I there are some where I've been like, I need that. And there were the Tokyo ones, but otherwise I've resisted for so long.
Yeah, I've only ever bought
You're
one.
So strong.
Thank you.
You're both so strong to resist.
Thank you. Watch, like, tomorrow impressed. I'll go to Disneyland and buy one.
Yeah.
That's part of this conversation. Honestly, me too, frankly, at this point.
Yeah, all we right. all need one now.
Yeah.
Is there anything that comes to mind as underrated? You guys go to the park semi-regularly. You are magic key holders. You are locals. Is there anything that you like to seek out or do at the parks that you think maybe a traditional vacationer might not partake in?
Well, I mean, you have to get the free piece of bread every time.
Always.
And I mean, I was going to say that pretzel bread, that like pretzel cheese bread, but I feel like everybody knows about that because it's all over TikTok of like, it's so good.
It's so good.
I can like see the CapCut font when you say it. I can see like, I can like picture, I literally picture like someone holding it, Maurice's treats, the font, the princess in the background. Yeah,
I mean, it works because I saw that TikTok and I like was like, I need to get that next time. And I now mean,
it's
I get
good.
It every time.
It's good. Yeah,
it's good. So good. Let's see. Do you have any, Maddie?
I mean, I think I don't know if this counts as like a specific thing per se, but I think that the Muppets have just continuously been slept on in a general sense, but especially within the parks. You know, it's like I'm so happy that Aya, who was on before, a coworker of David and I's, that she was able to see the Muppets 3-Day Vision before it went away forever. And personally, I do understand the decision to, you know, phase out the Muppets in general, except for the Muppets are coming to the Rock and Roller Coaster, allegedly. I hope they
promise. It's for real. It's
100%. Oh, thank God.
We complained loud enough, so now we get a ride.
Thank God. Oh, I was complaining. Yeah. I had a picket fence. But,
they put all of the fence. They put all of our posts in some machine, I bet. And they were like, oh no, the sentiment's strong. We must give them ride.
Thank God. This is why we fight. I think that's the main thing. Otherwise, it's like, I mean, I'm just a sucker for the details. I really like, and I think this just shows how crazy I am, but ever since I got the annual pass, like, shout out to David Hopping. Thank you, David Hopping. I will sometimes just take myself on solo Disney days where it's like, I don't really bother myself with waiting in a line. I just like to go around and appreciate the details. I love Toontown, and I recommend if it's not a busy day, if you're able to just walk through every house or enclosure that, you know, adults are allowed to go into. Don't be weird, you know, have that mindfulness, but and just appreciate all of the details. It's so cool. Like in Mickey's house, they have I think it's in the updated version. I don't believe this was in the older version, but they have like a shadow box collection, and like each shadow box like represents one of the international parks. There's like Florida, California, Paris, Tokyo, and it's just the details, you know. It's like, that's what keeps me coming back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the Toontown specifically, even Minnie's house, the kitchen.
Yeah, yes. The kitchen's like the best.
Minnie's house is low key better than a character meet and greet. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, honestly.
Oh my absolutely. God. And I, oh, yes. Oh, go ahead.
I'm so sorry. I cut you off, Carly. Carly Weissel. I'm so sorry. Fine.
No, you're not. Please.
I've had nightmares about this. That's what you're here for. This meeting. Oh, my goodness.
I'm only here to hear from you.
My gosh, well, I'm here to hear from you. But I was going to say, actually, shout out podcast The Ride. They had an episode recently where they did the fake Office Final Four, and they went into each God, I love them. And they went into each, you know, like major theme park office, you know, it had to qualify as an office, of course, and went into the minutia of all of that. And that made me a bit, it opened my eyes to the attention to detail that goes into building not only a world, but an office within that world. So,
oh my God, oh, we love the Good Boys. It's so funny because sometimes people who don't pay attention to Disney stuff will be like, what do you mean a lot of people do what you do? And it's like, you don't even understand.
Yeah.
You don't even understand the level of detail we're getting to, where two people who both live in the same city, who are pretty similar, like we're all friends, we cover the same thing, and our podcasts could not be more different.
So different. I love it.
Could not be. Could not, so like, Sector Keeper lives on their end and not here. Still.
Boys.
Love
boys.
It. Yes. Legendary. Legendary. Oh, my God. I'm obsessed with them. Granted, I am not the guest, but I do want to offer one up because I stand behind it. That please. I think that, I forget the official name of it, I think it's Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. The Winnie the Pooh ride at Disneyland
yes!
is so underrated.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I know it now kind of is like, now that that area is very strongly Tiana-based, and I know they rethemed it to Critter Country to include everything, but it also feels a little like we're still here. Like, they always seem like an underdog, and they're not, and no one's really coming in and beelining for Winnie the Pooh, but maybe they should, because it's a great ride and it's relatively easy to get on. If you use Buddy Pass, you can get on real quick, and it's just a glorious little experience to have a ride like that in that corner of the park.
Absolutely, absolutely. I could not agree more. Shame that it replaced the Country Bears, but I forgive the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, because I mean, what a beautiful ride. And I think the line experience, in my opinion, it's not as good, but it's almost just as good as the ride itself. So I love the details of, you can see, I think it's Piglet's house, and there's a couple of the other Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh characters. You can see what represents their living quarters, I think. And, you know, I have a couple of times just read a book while in line in that area, and it's really nice.
That's beautiful.
Isn't it? I won't lie. I don't think I've ever waited in the regular queue because I'm always buddy
passing. I was just about to say, I don't know if I have. I feel like I just haven't paid attention enough to realize that they had their houses there.
Yeah, it's so cute. I really love it.
I'm just like, no, I'm getting right on this ride. I'm enjoying myself.
We do not wait on this one.
I love that.
Wow.
And then, I've seen videos of people like rushing like to get to Winnie the Pooh to sign the book. Like, is that like a thing at every ride, or is that like just a Winnie the Pooh thing?
Here's what I'm going to say about this.
Thank you.
We are paying to go to a theme park for fun and for pleasure. We should not be stressing ourselves out. We should not be worrying about being the first person to get like the first hot dog of the day and get the pin and hold the sign. We shouldn't be worried about this stuff. This is why, like, I don't ever go on the canoes at Disneyland. I am not here to work. Exactly. No. I'm not here to do physical work. I'm here to vibe. I'm here to hang out. I'm here to go on attractions. I'm here to live a heightened experience. Yes. And when you add in like real world competition stress, I can't handle it.
Can't do it.
I cannot do it. I know some people are wired that way and they're like, I gotta be first. But to me, that sounds like the most stressful, intimidating, upsetting version of visiting Disneyland.
Well, and it also feels like it's just going to absolutely ruin your day if you wake up at 4 or 5 a.m. and then you're not first. That just, like, it's just going to be a real downer if that's your main goal for the day.
Like, I don't want to make fellow park goers my competition.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want them to be enemies.
No.
Why can't we all be friends?
We're all here just to enjoy.
Yeah. Why can't we all just experience the magic together? Please.
Too stressful. I know there's some people who do that stuff and love it, but it is.
Yeah.
Oh, that and like whenever like Rise of the Resistance and like those ones where you had to be in the park at 8 a.m. to like get your virtual queue. That one of the most stressful days, the day I went down to do that.
It is. They're like really, besides like actual grief, I strongly think there is no worse feeling than at that time than not getting it. Yeah. Not getting a boarding pass.
You hear people cheering.
You hear people cheering. Everyone's so excited. You didn't get it. It's happened to me. Like, I've also been in Florida and tried to get boarding passes and stuff and didn't get it. And it is crushing. I have cried. I am an adult woman and I have cried over not getting into a ride because it feels so bad.
Yeah. As you should. As you should. And I see other people crying for the same reason, and they're so valid for that.
It's just sometimes they design the rides too good. And it's really hard to get at them. And it's too stressful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's so true. Mm-hmm.
They did too good of a job. They did too good of a job. All right, listen up. If you have thrown out old, unused vegetables in the past 3 months, let me speak on this for a minute. That used to be me. I was the queen of wasted items, eggplants just melting away in my produce drawer. But when you use EveryPlate, you can enjoy the benefits of cooking for yourself while also enjoying the kind of recipes you typically have to go to a restaurant to get, like crispy buffalo ranch chicken and cheesy Mexican street corn hash. Not only will EveryPlate give you pre-portioned ingredients for the meals you choose from their constantly rotating weekly recipes, but you'll spend less on these flavor-packed homemade meals than you would on your normal groceries or even at a restaurant. And you'll get more out of cooking with easy-to-follow recipes that are done in 30 minutes or less. When it's up to me, I typically cook what I call a pile of fridge slop. Spinach, tofu, an egg, brown rice. When I get my EveryPlate deliveries, I'm able to whip up a legitimately special meal in the same amount of time it takes me to make my fridge slop. It's just that easy. And the recipes? Listen, I'm out here putting in very little effort and yielding a meal I never could have made myself without their guidance. I've spoken about this before, but I made the best meal I've ever made in my life with them. It was like a chickpea stew, and it was incredible. It was incredible. That's why we always talk about EveryPlate, because if you've never gotten it, you don't know. You should know, it's just that good. So what are you waiting for? Dig into these flavor-packed meals your household will love. New customers can enjoy this special offer of only $1.99 per meal. Go to everyplate.com/podcast and use the code AMUSING199 to get started. That's everyplate.com/podcast and code AMUSING199. Applied as discount on first box, limited time only. EveryPlate, make cooking fun again. You know what I love to do? Travel. You know what I hate to do? Pack for travel. Every time I find myself reaching for items I simply don't have, or ones I do have that just don't feel right. And that is where Armoire comes in to save the day. Listen to me. When you're heading out on a beach vacation or an Alaska cruise or just home to visit your family and possibly run into everyone you went to high school with, you want to look good and you want to feel good. And a clothing rental membership from Armoire helps fill out your dream wardrobe with clothing brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. Armoire actually saved my tush on a Disney Wonder sailing out of San Diego because it was a little chillier than I anticipated. I was able to pair their cute sweaters with skirts, both of which I don't own because none of my clothes match and I couldn't bring everything I own in a suitcase, and since then has kind of been my go-to for every time I travel. I even wore a full Armoire outfit on the plane ride to Disney World recently, and I gotta tell you, wearing something you look forward to on an airplane without having to worry about spilling a Diet Coke on it since it's a rental is worth every penny. If you're postpartum, if you struggle to commit while shopping because you don't know how the clothes will wear once you wear them, oh my god, I hate that so much. If you're too busy to buy new clothes, but constantly are hearting things on Instagram and clicking on people's LTK pages and just never take the leap, trust me on this, renting clothes is for you. It took me a minute to realize how good it was, and now I am all in. Because if you're still not sold on renting clothes, here's what got me obsessed with it. It's basically like trying before you buy. Because you can buy the items that you rent and fall in love with at a discount. And you will, because I've done it multiple times and it was an absolutely perfect process. Armoire is women-founded, women-led, and let this woman tell ya, they've got legit good stuff which will make getting dressed fun again, even for the everyday. Pick out your faves, swap them whenever you want, and keep it going to help build your ultimate wardrobe. Right now, listeners of Eerie Musings can try Armoire and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 of savings. That's ARMOIRE.style/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. ARMOIRE.style/amusing. Try Armoire today. If either of you could bend time to bring back one thing, we're talking food, ride, a land, a parade, a character, what would it be and why?
Oh, this is such a good question.
It's a great question. I do have mine on lock already, and that is bring back Muppet Vision 3D to California Adventure. Unfortunate that it went, and the space that it used to inhabit, I still don't entirely know what they're doing. You know, I was a kid when it left. Is that where the PhilharMagic is now, or what is taking up the Muppet Vision 3D space?
Yeah, it's just kind of there. I saw it once and then never really went back because I go to Disney World a lot, and so they have like the full version of Disney World, so I see that totally. One. But yeah, it's kind of that area of the park feels very in flux. Just
yeah.
It's
almost a graveyard. It's just sad.
That is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mine would be, my friends and I used to just like love going to that. Do you guys remember the all you can eat barbecue restaurant?
Oh yes.
That was like my number one restaurant. I loved going there and I was devastated whenever it closed. I'm bringing that back.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
It's Carly. The Zoom delay. It affects everybody.
No, I also am like, I'm full blanking on the actual.
I can't think
Thunder
of the
Ranch
of
barbecue.
Yes.
Because now when you Google it, it's like all the results are like, hungry, did you mean Hungry Bear? But no.
And then there was the, because they had the performer out front who would, you know, like play a ditty and you could like interact with him. And I think, was his name Farley or something like that? Because I was going to college right by Disney when it was actively closing for Star Wars Land. And I got a sticker because it was one of the last performances from this, and I know that he was there for a long time because one of my hyperfixation movies when I was younger was A Day at Disneyland, which was I think 1990 something anyway, and this guy was in there, so I know he was there for at least, you know, 20 years, and I got to like be one of the last people to meet him and interact with him. Aww. So I got a sticker that said I met blank, and I still have the sticker, but it's in my keepsake box, which is a huge box that is kept in my closet, much to my boyfriend's protests, and it's somewhere deep down, and I fear that if I try digging, I'm never going to get myself out of the box, so that's where it went.
Oh my god, that might be like worth some money.
I know.
Some collector. Yeah.
Yeah, and people pay that much money for popcorn buckets. I'll sell the sticker.
It's also giving me such a visceral memory of
the
petting zoo.
Yeah.
There was a petting zoo at Disneyland like recently, right? Like I'm not making this up in my head.
I missed the petting zoo.
Am I making it up?
I remember that too. Yeah. I think when I was a kid though, I feel like maybe it wasn't there in like the 2010s.
Hold on. No, Big Thunder Ranch had a petting zoo because I only went on one visit with a friend, like right when I moved to LA.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm looking at photos.
I'm Googling it too.
Yeah, I need to. We need to get to the bottom of this.
I mean, I'm on Yesterland, which makes me feel like I imagine, like I inserted myself in history that I did not experience. Yesterland. But hold on. Okay. Sorry to Google on my, Disneyland. It's a heading to closure. Closed in 2016.
There it is.
Yeah,
there
it was. It was there. Is it Big Thunder? Big Thunder Ranch Petting Zoo.
Wow.
And I only went once, and I got to find my photos from it because it feels like it didn't happen. It feels like I imagined it. Like it's not real, or like it's from the 60s, or like years ago. Whoa.
No, I'm so mad now because I got my pass in 2016, so I just missed.
You just missed it. Oh my god!
And that's when I started going to college right by, so I just missed it too.
Screw the barbecue! I'm bringing back the petting zoo.
Yeah, oh god.
I can't believe I lived in the history that I wish I would have seen.
What a moment in time!
Truly,
whoa!
I feel like I have closure and also a feeling of remorse at the same time.
I wish I remembered if it was good or bad. I just remember it. I just remember my friend and I, who I went with afterwards when they announced that it was closing, we texted each other being like, what are they going to do with the animals? And like, of course they placed them somewhere wonderful because they're Disney.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yes.
But just, wow. Whoa.
Whoa.
I feel like in 30 years, they'll be like, there used to be cats roaming around. Like, that's going to be one of the things.
Literally.
But like, yeah, there's cats. Go to Trader Sam's at night and, and they be around.
There's some ducks walking around.
Oh my gosh. It sounds like both of you are very well versed about Disney parks. So what is the best Disney tidbit or unknown fact that you've ever learned? Like, what is the thing that you tell people at parties when they're like, you're into this? And you're like, yeah, let me tell you a story. Like, what's the thing you've learned that you carry with you?
So I'm a little crazy if we haven't established that. And I have a rope drop Google Doc, which like I send to people who have never.
She really does.
Yes. And in context with this is that David and I went to Disney for the first time with our other office friend, Samantha Curry. Shout out Samantha. We love Samantha. And they were like, yeah, we should all go. It'll be so fun. And I got a little bit too excited, as I usually do. And in our group chat, I was like, guess what, guys? I have this rope drop game plan. It's going to be so fun. And then David and Samantha, being seasoned annual pass holders, were like, well, we were maybe thinking going in the afternoon. It's gonna be a drink. Like, again, prefacing, this was pre-annual pass for me. So like I had to make every minute count for the ticket.
Oh, which is fair.
If you're buying a hard ticket,
you gotta open to close.
Yes. And I have now since moved on to a more privileged life. So I have lost, sometimes I lose perspective of my upbringing, where my humble beginnings. But yeah, so I do have a rope drop Google Doc that I'll send to people that I try to spell it out so that it becomes less overwhelming, because I do think it's a shame that people who don't go very frequently or maybe are even going for the first time show up to rope drop and then it kind of feels like Mad Max Fury Road. You know, it's like that's not the vibe you want to start your day with. And so I have this like Google Doc that's like, hey, don't panic, just keep walking. People who run are often told to be sent back. You know, if you like hug the sides, that will make it less scary.
I really want to pull it up.
I have rendezvous points that I have taken the liberty to include pictures of. So if anyone gets lost, they can meet at the rendezvous points. Like, you guys, I am telling you, people who are listening to this who are only, you know, like casual friends with me and don't know me. I'm so sorry you have to find out about me this way, but I'm crazy. Like
I found it.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Tell me everything.
So she also like names it for whoever she's going with. So at the top, it says David, Maddie, Sam, Disney Day. Hey now. This is what dreams are made of.
Oh yes.
And then it has her ride/attraction priorities. Oh, then it has the rides that will be closed, the snack priorities. Things to pack. We were there for one of the food and wine festivals, so she had a link to the menus. And then, rope drop game plan. I know this is intense, but I just want to make sure rope drop doesn't stress out, confuse, or make anyone feel left out. She has the map. She has photos that with like circle point. Oh, let me turn this off. Sorry. She has photos of like circled, like meetup points in case we all get separated. It is, it's a dream.
See, if you can't tell, I am a talent coordinator and it sometimes seeps into my personal life. So,
well, I'm over here dying because I just before this recorded an episode about like how I got a lot done in a day at Tokyo Disney Resort. And this is basically like everything I recommend.
That's so great.
It's like separate so you can get more done. Make sure you have a meetup point in case your phones don't work over there. Like, it's the exact same thing. Have a list of all the food you want to do so you don't have to do any research there. Have a list of all your ride priorities so you can just make sure you do what's important to you. That doc is like my entire episode.
That's amazing.
For Tokyo. So props, because that's how you master it. You know.
I feel so seen. Thank you so much, Carly.
Oh, yeah. I'm impressed because I make documents for people, but I'm too lazy to include images. So you go above and beyond.
You know, you're traumatized enough in the entertainment industry and you always include pictures after.
Yeah, fair.
Oh, my God. Okay. David, I'm going to see if you have a tidbit or unknown fact, but I got to ask. So what is your like rope drop plan? Like, what do you like? You're alone. You're rope dropping. What are you doing in those first 2 hours?
Me?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Dave's not worried about the first 2 hours.
That's true.
I stroll in.
Yeah. Casual.
So for me, it does vary, which I know you understand, Carly, because I listen to your podcast, or whether or not, you know, I'm with a seasoned Disney traveler or somebody who's visiting the parks for the first time. If I'm with somebody who's visiting the parks for the first time, I like to do Rise of the Resistance, get there, like knock out Star Wars Land, and then immediately do Winnie the Pooh afterwards. It's kind of, I wouldn't even say like a palate cleanser, but just I think it's like you kind of get the best of both worlds. You get like a whirlwind of, you know, not only getting to the ride itself, but then kind of getting more of the adventure, you know, sci-fi escapism. I like to kind of, you know, then reel it back a little bit with like a cute, serene Disney experience. And then I would prioritize Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, but kind of, I think, hitting a few rides and possibly snacks along the way since it is on the opposite end of the park. If it's just me, I rope drop Toontown. I love Toontown. That's my favorite. I like doing Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. I love being in line and offering to take pictures of families who are struggling to do the selfie. I will be that person. I will always be that person for you. And I always love to see, just because, I don't know, I think I started doing it in college, so I kind of, I guess, lost all sense of shame when I am there by myself. But I love seeing ride operators when I'm like, oh, just me. And they like have this moment. They're like, what do you mean? Like, no one else? It's like, I used to like kind of like get embarrassed. Like, yeah, I'm sorry. But now it's just funny to kind of like see their wheels turning. Like, why is this woman specifically here by herself? Because not to toot my own horn, but like, while I am crazy, I do look normal, you know? So anyway, I think that's how I would do it. And I like taking time to, as I said before, explore the, you know, the world building of the various houses, the little details, all that stuff.
Jamming it all in.
Yeah.
Wow. I also, you going to Rise of the Resistance feels like a retro hit, just like gun in there in the morning. I can't even, I'm so traumatized from all of that, from like all of the virtual queue, all the boarding groups, all
that. That was a while.
I can't go there in the morning. It's too much.
Yeah,
it's a lot. I also have a conspiracy theory, and perhaps I'm wrong, but I kind of think, because it's happened enough times on the weekends, I'm pretty sure that Disney like doesn't open Rise of the Resistance until a few hours into the day because they want people to buy the, oh gosh, now it's changed so many times.
Oh, like the fast pass thing?
Yeah, where you like pay extra for
single
the lightning
pass.
Lane. Yeah, single pass. Because they want more people to buy the single pass. It's happened to me enough times where I've taken people with me on the weekends and, you know, like everything is a good, I mean, it's happened 5 times now where Rise of the Resistance isn't working correctly. And as someone who worked in Indiana Jones, I understand that sometimes the complex ride operating system, it just kind of, like, it takes a while to like get going, and sometimes it shuts down a lot, like Indiana Jones. But I think it's happened too many times, and I kind of, you know, it makes me upset, but it also, I respect the game that they're just trying to get people to pay for the Lightning Lane pass when they know that there is kind of the plan to save money to get there first, to get that out of the way.
I would take a look at thrill data because they have numbers on everything and kind of check the patterns for weekends and see if it correlates.
Okay, I will. Oh, I will do that.
That's
That's what I would do if I was doing free.
I love
research.
A good conspiracy theory, though.
We're getting to the bottom of it.
Wow. Love one. Okay, David, I fully pass
over
you.
No.
Is there anything that like a tidbit or a fact or like a secret where you're like, oh my god, this place is so cool?
I mean, I feel like this is like, this was such a well known one. I just had never heard of the Buddy Pass for like way too long, and when I went on Monsters, and my friend was just like, oh no, like don't get in the line, and I was like, what do you mean? And we just went, and he asked for a Buddy Pass, and we got to go right to the front. That like blew my mind, because I'd been going to the park for years and had never heard of this.
It's pretty wild. And also, anytime I talk about it on my podcast, so my friends are like, shut up, don't talk about it.
Yeah, don't tell the secret.
No. But you know what, I feel like nothing Disney is permanent. Everything's always changing, so we may as well enjoy it as much as possible while we can.
Enjoy it while you can.
You never know.
Yeah. Because I was like, what's the point of it? It's not like a single rider. Like, two people are going in. I don't know the benefit of it, but I'm just going to accept it.
I think it has something to do with, like, the way they load the back row. Because often when I go, I'm on the back row. And I think that maybe if they have, they would, I don't think they would put, like, a group of four and a group of two in the same one. But they do that in other, I'm not asking any questions. I don't know.
We're just taking it while we can.
I just love it. I just love it so much. I know Maddie's answer to this, so we will start with David. What is on each of your Disney bucket lists?
I mean, I feel like this is also such a common one, but it is just like my major goal in life, just in general, to visit every Disney park.
Is there what is the order? Like if you could go, let's say I was like, you get to go to one every year. How would you prioritize the rest of them?
Okay, I Shanghai's top of the list.
Oh.
Ooh.
No.
Interesting. No.
It's not us both having the same response.
That is not what I anticipated.
I think that's just like the side of TikTok I'm on where I just keep seeing videos from that. And like that's the one with like the Rapunzel ride, right? Or am I thinking of a different?
That's Japan.
That would be Tokyo Disney, my friend.
Yeah. I'm going to say, okay. Tokyo's number one.
That's the answer we anticipated. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Never mind. No, Tokyo then. Okay, we're going to go to Tokyo. And then we're going to, then let's see. What is it? Tokyo, Shanghai.
And Hong Kong.
Ooh, I guess we'll do Tokyo, Hong Kong, then Shanghai. Poor Shanghai was at the top of the list and just went to the bottom.
Just fell.
Carly and I were both trying to be so polite. We were like,
looking at your faces. I was like, oh, I messed up there.
I was just like a Disney fan in America who didn't list Tokyo first.
Yes.
What?
No, I had them confused and I'm humiliated about it. No,
do not be humiliated because both are
like, you should be humiliated. The Dole Whip and then this. David, you're gonna get hate mail from Disney
fans.
I'm gonna
get so canceled after this.
Yeah, you're gonna get Disney canceled.
The fact that you don't know where a ride you've never been on is located.
Yeah.
Just
go eat a Dole Whip.
Wow. Well, go get a popcorn bucket, Maddie. And I don't have anymore.
Okay, fair. So fair.
I do feel like, sidebar, David, we have to get you a flavor Dole Whip and expose you to different flavors to see if there's any of them you like. We need to get you a full buffet.
We'll do a full Dole Whip.
I feel like a raspberry or like something else, or like a swirl. Like, I think we can get you there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's not my go-to, but
we'll get in there.
I respect it.
I respect everything that you do. So, yes.
Also, Dole Whip on a cold day. That's the ticket.
Yes. Oh. And there's no line.
Yeah, and because it doesn't melt. So you can actually enjoy it. And it's not like, oh no, I'm like drowning in soup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Maddie, tell me all about your need to go to Tokyo.
Yes, it's not, I wouldn't necessarily call it a need. It's more of a compulsion. Like I can't, it's okay. So again, it's like if you are a casual friend of mine who's listening to this and is only just now finding out how crazy I am truly so sorry. Honestly, David included. But I told this to Carly, but so my... I use my boyfriend's YouTube account, Gold Digger, but I, so I watch Tokyo, both Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Sea walkthrough videos and, you know, TDR Explorer. I mean, just like whoever is there posting content, I'll watch it. And so I watch it so frequently that my boyfriend's YouTube account keeps changing our language preference to Japanese.
Stop.
Because I wish I was kidding. It happened. And it was one of those things where Jake was like, wow, you're really watching a lot of Tokyo Disney movies. And I was like, yeah, whatever. But then when that happened, I was like, yeah, okay, maybe I should like.
We did
cool it a little bit.
Yeah.
But yes, I am obsessed. If my good friends come over and we finish a movie or whatever we're watching and I'm like, hey, maybe we should put on YouTube, they know that it's me trying to get them to watch Tokyo Disney videos with me.
Oh my God.
I want to so badly. I have a lot of dreams in my life, but Tokyo Disney may be right up there.
Yeah. What, okay, of the videos you're watching, what are you watching the most? Is it like a park walkthrough? Is it ride videos? Like, what is the thing that you watch more than other Tokyo videos?
Probably the walkthrough, just because I convince myself that I'm there. I read a lot, so like sometimes I'll be reading and I just have the walkthrough on in the background, or sometimes if I'm working from home or if I'm writing a script and I just kind of want to have that, you know, ambiance in the background. But really anything. I mean, like anytime there's like a new snack, like I know about it. It's I keep good tabs on the happenings at Tokyo Disney.
But how good is it going to feel when you're finally there?
I don't
even
know.
And also, Jake doesn't have to question what like a big trip he needs to take you on is.
It's true. Listen, we know what we're doing for a honeymoon. I actually, when Jake and I, we've been dating for like 3 years, and like I kind of just like casually was like, by the way, I know you might think I want this, but I personally don't want to get engaged at Disney. And that's not like, I think it's such a beautiful thing and it has nothing to do with like the actual location itself. It's just that I am so easily overstimulated. Like once he does propose, like I'm just going to need to like be in like an isolation chamber essentially. And like, yes. What more stimulating place is there than a Disney park?
Yeah.
So, But yes, so I have that obsession. I do feel, I mean, I know that I'm with my people in this podcast, but I feel like every time I reveal just how obsessed I am, I have a little bit of a self-consciousness that creeps into
this is a very safe space.
No, I love it because also like your experience with Team Coco, you are experiencing it online before you actually get there.
So true.
So true. That's so true. Taking
you're
it
just,
back. Full
you know, circle. You're just doing what you know how to do and just following along online so that when you get there, you're fully prepared.
Carly, yes, you're right. Thank you so much.
I will validate any of your Disney life choices. Don't even worry about it.
Thank you.
Don't even worry about it.
Like, this feels like the support group I didn't know that I needed, yes. But it's so needed, you know?
Yeah.
I completely forgot to ask you guys, how was making Oscars?
Oh my God.
You like low-key made the biggest award show in the world and we're just like, Dole Whip. How was it? Was that cool?
It was like one of the craziest experiences ever. It was like, I still can't believe it happened.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's insane. And like, he killed it. It was.
Yeah.
Killed
he really
it.
Did.
Yeah.
Oh, I was crying watching it. Him. I was tearing up. It just felt so cool to be, even to a certain extent, a part of something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And also, David looked so handsome in his tux.
Oh, thank you. I had to buy a tux just for this because I did not own one.
Oh my God. I mean, people usually only have tuxes for like their weddings and
right.
They just hold on to it.
It's like, oh, the Oscars.
Oscars tux. Yeah. Did either of you get to eat any Wolfgang Puck food? That is like the only thing. Growing up, I remember there'd always be like magazine spreads and be like, oh, the Wolfgang Puck feast.
It's
like the after party or whatever.
At the after party, yes.
Did you get to taste anything?
I got to taste. Okay, first of all, when you walked into the party, before you even like got into like the indoor area, to the left, there was a whole table just of chicken strips, mini cheeseburgers, and pre-dipped French fries. It was like a little box, and you would pick up the fries, and it already had like the aioli or ranch or whatever on it, which just dream come true, first of all.
Oh my God, stars are not like us. Oh my God.
Literally did not have to lift a finger. My goodness. Wow.
There was like a whole like pizza section. There was like a whole sushi bar, a whole dessert thing. It was the like craziest thing ever. It was amazing. I was so full by the end of the night. I just had to try everything. Yeah.
Were you like torn between like, you know, like celebrating with your coworkers and being like, I need more free sushi.
I need to go walk around. Yeah. Well, then finally we were like, we're sitting at a table and finally like someone came up and they offered to bring us a bunch of stuff. So then we just like had a huge spread in front of us.
Oh my God.
This
is wild. I'm not gonna make you talk about the Oscars forever, even though I know both of you, you know, you work at Team Coco, you're involved, but was there any like part of the Oscars where you did one singular thing where you're like, this is absolutely insane that I'm standing here when I have seen this on TV for my entire life?
Oh.
Like, were you standing next to someone? Did you like touch an award? Was there anything that just felt like, I am like a one person Academy Museum, like any of it?
Oh, I mean, okay. So I was like standing backstage before the show. And so I didn't think the hallway I was in was anywhere like any kind of celebrity would come through. And then all of a sudden, like I look up and Demi Moore is just walking by. And I was just like, Ruthie, who was just, yes. And here was we with me, Ruthie. And I just like just start hitting Ruthie. Then we both were just like, oh my God.
And that was like her big night.
It was her big night. Yeah, she looked incredible.
She did. God. Maddie, were you there or was talent kind of separate because it's a different entity?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I was involved in certain areas. I wasn't at the Oscars, the event itself, but you know, there was a lot leading up to it that was still even so just so surreal. Being a part of in any aspect, this seems, it's so random and seems very silly, but I, as part of like a good luck to Conan, like I made him his own snack basket right before, because part of my job is like presenting snack baskets to the celebrity guest, which, you know, my snack baskets have had a lot of criticism online, rightfully so.
The snack baskets are iconic.
Yes. A lot of strong opinions going either way about them. But I made one for Conan just because I kind of like realized in the back of my head, I was like, and this is going to sound very cheesy, but it is sincere. I was like, I have made, you know, these snack baskets for, you know, like countless personal heroes of mine. But I mean, like my idol, like the comedy person I looked up to the most growing up was Conan. I never really got to make one for him. So I got the idea in my cheesy little brain that was like, oh, I'll make him his own snack basket. And I wrote him a little card. And I think like walking up to his office to put that in there, I was like, oh my God, my boss is about to host the Oscars. And that was very surreal for me.
It kind of feels like if someone you know goes to space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you're about to do this thing that very few people have done that is almost impossible to comprehend.
It's true.
And that like everyone's watching live.
Yeah, and yeah. Conan also kept singing What a Wonderful World and twirling a flower. It was wild.
He revealed his set list while he was on stage.
His Oscars joke list?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, KP.
Oh, we love her, though. I love Katy Perry. I really do. Like, I do say that with love.
Oh, listen, if we can't make fun of wealthy people going to space, what is there?
Yeah. That's so true. So yeah. True.
We have nothing, if not that.
No. I saw her in Vegas years ago. It was a great show.
Yeah, I got a Groupon for when she did her most recent tour at Staples, whatever they call it now. Okay. We got like floor seats and it was great.
Okay. I mean, she plays all the hits.
Yeah, she does play all the hits.
Waking Up in Vegas, a classic, frankly.
Oh, mm-hmm. God. Oh, mm-hmm. The newer stuff is slept on, but it's also good.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really is.
Okay, so we are running out of time. I'm trying to see if there's anything else. Okay, I think for our last question, I'm just going to say we can dream big. We can do whatever we want. If you could do any one Disney thing you haven't done, and I'm saying like dream bigger than just going to Tokyo. I'm talking like wildest dreams.
Oh my
God. Have the run of a park. You like Bob Iger is giving you a green light. What would you choose? If someone said you get full access to whatever you want, you can do anything. What would that thing be? Blue sky, wildest dreams.
Wow.
The silence.
We're overwhelmed.
This is a big power.
Really. I have two quick responses. The first one is, I mean, just bring back as much Muppet stuff as possible. I really think that the Muppets are understood by my generation, Gen Z generation, and even like, you know, millennials. It's like, I think Gen Zs are starting to bring it back a little bit. I like to think I am maybe a little bit. Anyway, I would bring back as much as possible because the Muppets are just prime. And then secondly, this is very specific, but I used to work for Carlos Lopez Estrada, who directed Ryan the Last Dragon. I worked for him after he was done with that part of his journey. But he, because he worked with Kelly Marie Tran, and by the way, Kelly Marie Tran is just an absolute gem of a human. I love her so much.
Oh, God, such a big fan.
I wish her all the success in the world.
Such She's a big fan.
So, so lovely. But so she put together this program where basically Kelly and Carlos and I were all part of making this movie called Summertime Odes to LA. I believe you can watch it on Amazon Prime Video. Essentially, it's a musical, but instead of music, it's poetry. It's a very innovative form of media. I think it's beautiful. But so a lot of these poets that were involved in the movie had never been to Disneyland before. And so we, Kelly and Carlos, organized a trip to take them, and I was a part of that. And I had a car full of teenage poets who had never been to Disneyland. I was like, oh my God, we're going to make their dreams come true. This is great. And then on the way to Disneyland, my tire popped and rolled off of my car. And it was a wild, surrealist sequence. Like, I still can't believe it happened because, like, I was kind of like, oh, weird. There's a tire rolling across the freeway. Ha ha. And then.
Can you realize it's yours?
Yeah. And shout out Jason Alvarez in my backseat. He was like, I think that's yours, homie. It's like verbatim what he said. And I was like, oh my God. And so then I had to pull over to the side of the road. And I was like, and what's crazy is like, I wasn't worried about my car. I wasn't worried about any of this. I was like, I'm ruining their experience to go to Disney. And I, you know, I got them a lift. I got them to Disney. There was another group they were able to meet up with. It was okay. But I think if I had full reign of the park, I would do a do-over and let them like have the entire day there. Yes,
oh
Marcos and Jason, and I'm trying to remember who else was in my car, but they deserve the full day, and I think I robbed them of like an hour, and I still feel so bad about that.
Wait, did you call a lift to the freeway?
Well, we pulled over to the side, and then I was like on my map, frantic, and there was a church that was like a 2-minute walk, and so I was like, if you can just go to the church, like I stayed with my car. I was like, I'm calling you a Lyft, you know, like it's gonna be, this is what the car, this is what the license plate is, you know, like,
oh my god, go be free. I wouldn't have even thought that. I would have been so panicked.
Same. I would have been like, we're done. The day's ruined. Go.
Yeah, I think if you're a PA for even just like 2 years, it's just something that happens in your brain where it's like any crisis, you
you gotta solve it.
Yeah, but I still feel a lot of guilt about that, and they just, they deserve that hour. So I think that's what I would do.
It's, but it sounds like they can still get a whole day.
You saved it.
I tried. Yeah. I tried. But and I remember Marcos, who was in the passenger seat, like everyone in the car, rightfully so, was like, what happened? Like, was there like some sort of like indication light on? And I did have an indication light, but I was 22 and an idiot, so I had no idea like what it meant. And I remember, it's true. But Marcos like leaned over and looked at the clear indication light, and he kind of turned around and was like, nope, no light. And looked at me like, girl, get your life together.
You were doing your best.
I was.
Oh my God. I can't believe you'd give your one shot for other people. I think that really speaks to how good of a person you are.
Maybe I'm just covering up a lot of other hideous parts about me. Who knows? This is all a ruse. I committed some terrible crime and I'm going on this podcast to clear it up. But no, I mean, I think in all seriousness, I've been so lucky that, you know, going to college by Disney, and I guess I just feel like so many of my dreams have already come true in such crazy ways, as we've kind of discussed in this podcast. Like, I'd just like to have other people, you know, experience Disney in a way that I was able to, or maybe I'm secretly just trying to convert everyone to my crazy Disney cult, but who knows?
They will all be rope drop people.
Yes, they
they're
all
getting, they're all getting the PDF.
Yeah, they will all get the PDF.
All of them. Okay, well, David.
Mine is not for other. No.
Claim it.
I want two things. I like just used to love the thrill of the old FastPass system, like running from like to get the paper one. I want that back. And I want a really good Stitch ride, because I did do that like ride, you know, in Florida where it was like the one where he's like jumping on your shoulders. But I want like a legit one. I want to start off in space. I want to then like come to Earth. I want to follow the story in like a really good way that only Disney parks can recreate a movie for.
You know, I guess I should have thought about this because it's my job, but I didn't think about it. That if the movie does well, like that could happen.
Maybe.
Wow.
Because I think the movie's supposed to do well.
I think so.
Your dream might come true.
I have tickets for opening night, so hopefully.
See, it could happen.
I know.
It could happen.
Maybe. And then we'll all come back here to talk about it.
Oh my God. D23, like 2090.
Yes. Grab our walkers. I'll see you there.
Oh my God. Why? Your dreams can like actually come true. This is Hollywood. Wow.
Fingers crossed, guys. Oh, whoever's listening, do it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, thank you both so much for coming on Very Amusing. I'm so glad that this happened.
My dream came true.
Yeah,
Carly,
this has been so much fun.
You're an idol of mine. This is great.
Oh my God, you were so kind. Thank you so much.
I'm back with Becky. We are at Disneyland, and she has, guess what, Disneyland discounts to tell you all about. I'm turning it over to Becky.
And of course, this is really important right now because we're here to see all the great new things for the 70th, which are coming right around the corner. And you can experience this too, because you can save up to 20% on select rooms at the Disneyland Resort Sunday through Thursday from May 16th all the way to August 14th. And you have to just book it by July 31st. So you can come see the new, all the new things that you've been talking about of the 70th and get all that great merch. And I have watched you looked at all the food and beverage stuff that's out there. So I know that you're going to be telling all of them about all these great things. But of course, if Disneyland isn't on your docket for summer, just a real quick one, Royal Caribbean, we have an exclusive deal, which is a soda package for two, which is a great value included in your cruise if you book by June 12th for the sailing window all the way through 2025.
Wow. And I'll let you guys know, I haven't been on Royal Caribbean yet. I was supposed to go soon. I was supposed to be with Becky hanging on a cruise ship. It didn't happen because of something else that's coming that I haven't told you about, that I'll tell you about soon. But Becky has been evangelizing me about Royal Caribbean, and I will be going on a sailing sometime in the future, and I'll report back because, oh so much has dropped so many plates. Oh, no. No, no. See, that's a sign that I have to go. Oh, that's
you
a
know what?
Sign.
It is, because that just means you're something is the Mickey bar is calling you. It's like you need to eat, and the Mickey bar, the ice cream bar covered in chocolate, is calling you from the other room.
That is the universe being like, yeah, you should have gone on the cruise with Becky. See? You should have.
See, I told you so. There's my I told you so moment.
Anyway, don't sleep on Royal Caribbean. Those cruises are fantastic. I've been on them before I did this job, and I will be on them again soon. But thank you all, and remember, MEI Mouse Fan Travel, mousefantravel.com/amusing for all of your travel needs. Bye!
Hey, Carly, this is Rachel from SoCal. I am going to Disney World in a couple of weeks, and this will be the first time that I have a rental car with me. So I'm planning to go over to the Gideon's at East End Market, as you like to suggest. And I was just wondering if you had a recommendation for any good restaurants at the East End Market to also get dinner while I'm there. Would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Hi, Rachel. Thank you so much for this call. Not only because I feel like this is why my podcast and I exist, like this is why Very Amusing exists, to help you navigate your rental car journey to go to Gideon's and leave Disney World property. This is really all I care about. I really care about like the whimsical little things that you shove into a theme park trip in Orlando, and I am here to help. Now, before we get into recommendations for around East End Market, where the non-Disney Springs Gideon's location is located, I said that wrong, but you know what I mean. I want to make sure you know this. First things first, before you go on this trip, make sure to look into pre-ordering at Gideon's. You also mentioned dinner time nearby, and cookies and things can run out closer to the end of the day. So I really want to make sure you lock your order in, especially if you are visiting towards the end of their operating hours. Pre-orders can happen anywhere from 30 days to 72 hours in advance. And if you pre-order cookies in advance, you do have to order a minimum of 6 cookies. That sounds like a lot, but trust me, it is worth it. Like, I would skip meals at Disney and just get like a random smaller quick service situation just to be able to spend that money on a flight of these and to bring them home easily. Also, when I first started going to Gideon's, not everyone knew what it was, but now because of TikTok and social media, everyone knows what Gideon's is. So there was a moment there where I came back from Gideon's, I brought a ton back, and I shared it with a bunch of my LA friends who had always wanted to know what these tasted like. So if you need a reason to reach a full pre-order status, like you can fully buy a different flavor of each cookie and then bring them home and cut them into little slices and have a little cookie party, wouldn't that be fun? I kind of want to do that now that I said that. Anyway, the other perk of pre-ordering, even if it's more than you wanted, is that they will pack them up real nice in a box and seal it for travel for like $2. If you don't have impulse control like me, you will break that seal and eat a cookie on the plane. But typically, if you're gonna pack some up to bring home, that is the best way to do it. And they will wrap it and it'll be ready to go. You just shove it in your bag. Boom, boom, boom. You're on your way home. If you're like, that's still too many cookies, I'm not throwing a cookie party. I'm not putting that effort in. That's totally fine. You can also do next day pre-order. It just needs to be picked up the next day by 6 p.m. Their hours posted are 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. 7 days a week. So just mind that 6 p.m. warning on the website. And that way you can just order a couple cookies if that's all that you want. As for where to eat, I personally just go there and house full cookies. So I am going to turn it over to noted photographer and friend of the podcast, Zach Wolf, who lives locally in Orlando, has impeccable taste, and who I would undoubtedly trust with this task. He sent me a bunch of stuff to relay to you, so here goes. At East End Market specifically, where this Gideon's location is, there is Winter Park Biscuit Company, which is one of his all-time favorite chicken sandwiches that happens to be 100% vegan. That is more of a casual counter service vibe. As you will see when you arrive, East End Market is quite small. There are some like annex buildings and stuff on the side, but the actual market area where Gideon's is pretty tight. So that's like a counter situation. There is a sit-down restaurant. Domu has Michelin recommended ramen, but he says don't sleep on the incredible wings or the cheeses, a skillet of corn and cheese with a fresh baguette that is absolutely divine. Wow. Wow. He also name drops Gyukatsu Rose, which he has not tried yet, but it's from the Domu team, and they have a Wagyu focused menu that he says sounds incredible. And I think I agree. Because you have a car,
because, listen, Zach has eaten locally. He has a lot to recommend. I was kind of like, tell me some stuff that's near this area that is also worth visiting. And he shouted out a few spots. There is Neighbors, which he calls a perfect upstairs bar. Oh, this one's also at East End Market. That's an East End Market that's half local retail, half cocktails, all good vibes. Oh my God, Zach, should you be a writer? Park Ave CDs, Orlando's oldest record store and an absolute neighborhood institution. And Hellcat's Happy Go Lucky, which are two connected boutiques. Oh, these are not dining. These are other things to do. Wow. Oh, Zach went so hard. This is so helpful. I've never been to these places. I got to go to these places. Anyway, these two spots are connected boutiques owned by an Orlando power couple, and it features like quirky goth-influenced brands, carefully curated finds from small businesses, and Happy-Go-Lucky has vintage treasures and unique sourced goods. Zach, you're like really good at words. I mean, you've seen Zach's photography before. I know a bunch of us have used Zach on Orlando trips for like family shoots at theme park resorts and just like really scenic stuff, weddings even. Zach has photographed a Disney wedding for one of our family friends. Like, listen, Zach's the best. If you have any photo needs, Orlando-based, reach out. I will put his link in the show notes. And thank you so much, Zach, for these recommendations. Again, Zach knows food. I would trust him so much. Hit up these spots and have the best trip and enjoy all your cookies, because how are you going to go to Gideon's and not bring home at least 6 cookies? That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to this very special Team Coco-y, very amusing crossover episode. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. That is how people find our show. I appreciate it greatly. And thank you to everyone who's done it already. I think most of you listening are regular listeners who have done it. But if you haven't done it, why not? It's just like trick-or-treating on my doorstep. But instead of giving you candy, I just I appreciate it. I guess it's nothing like trick-or-treating. I really thought I had something there, and I did not. You can also give us a call at 747-CHURROS. We are happy to field your calls. We have a ton that we need to get to. There are so many good ones. Please keep them coming. I love getting your churros calls. I love it. It just feels like a friend leaving me a voicemail asking for my advice about things, which is all I ever want to do is talk about theme parks with my friends, and you guys are my podcast friends, so I appreciate it. Also, if you are planning a trip to Epic Universe, Disney World, Disneyland, and you don't want to deal with these garbage websites, these theme park websites are run truly on a platform that feels like it was made 40 years ago. If you don't want to deal with all of that, and also if you want to kind of figure out the best price for a range of dates, which you kind of can't do on these sites, if you add people, the price changes. If you add, take away people, it like availability can change. Like everything changes constantly. And if you want someone to basically be like your camp counselor for your theme park vacation, Mouse Fan Travel, MEI Travel are the people to go to. They will help you. They will charge you $0 for their help. They are experts, and they will just make the whole process a little easier on you and help you get your answers. I literally just did this the other day. I was looking at some dates for staying at Disneyland, and I couldn't figure out on my own end. My travel agent and Mouse Fan Travel got back to me so fast, answered a question I couldn't answer myself, confirmed some prices that I saw, also gave me some more information about other prices. Truly can't recommend it enough. And they help keep this podcast going. So we love them. We love Mouse Fan Travel, MEI Travel. And yeah, use them. Honestly, like, it's a resource that's there. Like, it's amazing. Follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. I'm always yapping into my phone. I should clean my phone camera more. I should probably get a nicer phone than an iPhone 13. But I'm on all the platforms, posted all the stuff. You can join the FOMALY at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel. And subscribe to my Instagram. It's 99 cents a month. I mean, if you hate it, you can leave, but I don't think you're going to hate it because 99 cents in this economy? That's like nothing. I think that's the cheapest that Facebook or Meta, whatever we call it, would let me do it for. And I didn't want it to be a big cost barrier, but I did just want it to be like a smaller group of people that I don't post everything on main to. And I think it's been really fun. And I think people who, people have stayed. So I think they like it. And it's just really nice, especially as I have one major trip coming up. Whenever I travel, I do Q&As there specifically that I don't do on the main feed. And it's just nice. It's lovely. And we would love to have you for 99 cents a month. That's less than 12 bucks a year. Like, that's not that bad. I live in LA. I know things are different here, but I got a coffee the other day that was $8. $8. That's almost a year of me yapping in my phone. So this is what I'm saying. It's a fun time, and I would love to have you there. This episode was edited divinely by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, sweetie. I still cannot get over your intro every week when you go, hello, that it's done live. And I would never have believed it if I didn't see it. And you said, I don't tape it. I do it every week. I can't even believe you do that. And it's wonderful. I love it. I also like when Pearl does it, but it's amazing. Okay. Epic Universe sounds crazy exciting and fun. Beautiful, magical. I cannot wait to experience that. My first place I do want to go in Epic Universe is Paris. How fun. I love everything Paris, and I'm really excited for the gift shop. I know it sounds crazy, but I am. You are 100% right about no shade outside anywhere. So we need some kind of tent or canopy over certain areas like the kids' play area, just a place to cool off. I agree that the shade is so needed. We had 100-degree weather when you, Pearl, and I were at, I think it was, I don't know, it was one of the parks in Orlando, and we had a race for cover. It was so hot. And then we went to one of the parks where the kids can play, the little play area, and everything she touched was burning hot. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't get it. But definitely they need coverage for that. And how do you treat your dragon? I don't even know what you're talking about. All I know is you talk to some little dragon thing. I saw the little video. It looked like fun, but I'm excited to do it. And I know all about the Shrexel, which is so funny to me because I love pretzels and I love popcorn. And seeing you putting that over your face cracked me up. But I heard that the Frankenstein one is good, too. You talked to a portrait for 8 minutes. Was it? That's very cool. Or was it the heat? I'm not sure which. But I love you, and this sounds so much fun. I want to go. Of course we will go this year. I'm just a matter of when. I love you so much. I love you so much, Pearl, and I'll see you next week.